Hi, my name is Emily Chadbourne, and welcome to Unashamedly Human, the podcast, where we explore how we can better understand our thoughts, feelings, and actions, change our results, and feel less alone as we navigate that crazy thing called life. This show is sponsored by absolutely bloody nobody because, well, no one is willing to pay me for this shit yet. But I am a huge believer in supporting other small businesses that I love and fellow entrepreneurs who, like me, are trying to make the world a better place. So if you hear me recommend or promote other coaches, products or services, please know that it's not an ad. I just want to share the love. Also, though, if you did want to sponsor me, I would completely be okay with that. So you could email me at info@emilychadbourne.com. Do Chanel sponsor podcasts?
Hello and welcome to episode 18 of Unashamedly Human, the podcast. My name is Emily Chadbourne, and I don't know if this is episode 18. I can't remember where we got up to in terms of numbers, but I'm calling it episode 18 and we're all fucking rolling with it. So this podcast, I am going to be really fucking honest because there's no other way to be. Normally with these podcasts, I have like something marinating in my mind. I have themes that I'm picking up on from my clients or from my market, from my free Facebook group, That Crazy Thing Called Life, or just things that I'm observing, little life lessons that I'm learning along the way in my own evolutionary growth. And then I share them on this podcast. And the last week of my life has been so about keeping a motherfucking puppy alive, which sounds totally ridiculous, but it's completely and totally and utterly my truth. So I've got this gorgeous little puppy called Theodore, and he is a handful, as all puppies are. And yeah, I missed the memo on that one. Anyway, so yeah, I've spent this whole week getting to know this dog and completely falling in love with him and him getting to know me back. And so this week has been a bit of a different vibe for me, let's put it that way. Have a newfound empathy and appreciation for other puppy owners. Or people who have children. It's intense, but glorious, but intense. Anyway, the little shit eats everything and shits everywhere. But we are slowly but surely learning what is not appropriate because boundaries, right? But also I'm having to learn him. Like, dog is a completely different language. Anyway, I'm not going to bang on anymore about Theodore. He's a fucking legend. Check out his Insta handle. It's Theodore's with an S _ friend beast. And listen to last week's podcast where you can hear the lessons that I have learned so far in my new role as a puppy owner. So as a result of not really having like a really clear formed thought in my mind about what this podcast might be about, I put a call out on my Insta stories. If you're not following me on Insta, shameless plug, not even going to pretend that it's anything other than a shameless plug. You should be. Emily _ that crazy thing called life. And I put a little call out on my Insta stories last night saying, okay, guys, got a podcast to record. Haven't got a clue what I'm going to talk about because the only thing I'm thinking about right now is how I'm going to stop my puppy eating my shit and shitting on my shit. And I had a few suggestions come in. They ranged from, you know, how do you deal with procrastination? How do you stop being in fear? How can I feel less stuck? How do I, all sorts, like really beautiful, wonderful suggestions. And I'm absolutely sure in one way or another, I will get around to answering all of them in one way, shape or form across the next however many episodes of Unashamedly Human there are. But one really stood out, one question really stood out because it was kind of like, I don't know, a bit left field. It wasn't necessarily directed towards like personal development and manifestation and getting results. It was just such a, the energy of it was just, it felt like such a pleading message from a beautiful soul who is desperate to do good in this world and confused about how to go about doing that. So the message really simply came across through my messenger on Facebook, and it just says, podcast idea, how to contribute positively when there's so much disharmony in the world. And yeah, something happened. There was sort of a visceral response that I had to that message because I think we're at such an interesting time, and I'm sure everybody who's ever lived, every generation that has ever been before us has said the words, it's such an interesting time to be alive. But it really does feel like there are so many shifts happening in this world with the advancement of AI, with technology just rampaging forward. We can hardly keep up with it. The disconnection that having the connection of the internet has given us, the anonymity that it has given us, which has exposed fear, which has manifested itself in trolling and online bullying, with the political stance that the world is in at the moment. We've got Donald Trump in power in the US. We've got Boris Johnson, I mean, come on, in the UK. We've got, you know, all sorts of really fucking terrible things happening. And I would love to sound educated, and I'm not. I would love to reel off some of the shit that's going on, the humanitarian crises that we are seeing left, right, and center. I know they exist. I probably don't know enough about them. I'm going to put my full fucking disclosure on this one. I'm not abreast of politics. I'm not abreast necessarily of what's going on in a global sense across the world. And maybe I should be. Maybe that is a little bit of feedback to me. You know, even as I'm speaking these words now, I'm like, fuck, man, I actually don't know what's going on, but I don't think it's good. And maybe part of, you know, how do you contribute more positively is taking a little bit more responsibility to be a bit more educated about what is happening, and to really have a clear navigation around how to source real news, because obviously the internet gives us so much fucking fake news, it's untrue. And having sort of a clear framework, if you like, around deciphering what is real and what's not real, and not just accepting what we read, like, you know, source from www.imabillybullshitter.com, like potentially maybe looking at where information is sourced, where it's come from, looking at who is promoting the material that we're reading and then accepting as truth and then regurgitating. And here we go, this is how history is made and this is how cultures are created, right? So, you know, I think taking responsibility is probably the first step. How do you contribute positively when there's so much disharmony in the world? Is understand what that disharmony is, understand where there is disharmony, and don't perpetuate falsehood around that disharmony. Don't perpetuate fake news. Don't just regurgitate something because you heard it at a dinner party and you think it makes you sound good. Like I've just said here, full disclosure, I don't really know what's going on. I was in England for 5 weeks. Hang on just 1 second. I have to shout at my dog. Good boy. Good boy. Jesus Christ. I was in the UK for 5 weeks almost of this year. And, you know, I still don't understand what's going on with Brexit. And I think the scary thing is the people who are in charge of Brexit don't really understand what's going on with Brexit either. But, you know, I think step number one needs to be aware of what you are consuming, what you are believing, and what you are perpetuating when it comes to disharmony in a global sense, in a political sense. The second thing that I just wanted to say on this is that, you know, this is like the big fucking picture stuff. Like, what do we do worldwide? How do I solve, you know, world hunger? How do we create world peace? I just want world peace. Like, of course, that's, I would imagine, what most people on this planet would say that they're aspiring to, and they would love to see this sort of utopia where everyone lives in harmony and there are no wars and everyone has ample food. And the irony being, of course, that this is completely within our reach. It's just that we don't seem to be on the path, and we've never been on the path. Let's be honest, this isn't a new thing. In fact, realistically, we are more comfortable, more affluent as a species than we've ever been. We are certainly more at peace than we have ever been. I know that sounds fucking whack, but actually when you look back at some of the barbaric history of humanity, you will actually see that right now, relatively, it's quite peaceful, which is shocking, I know. So I think, you know, this, we're talking huge big picture here, but my second point really is that this is relative to fucking everybody. This isn't just like, how do I create world peace? How do I, you know, make my mark in politics when it feels so often that my voice isn't heard? How do I stand up for what I believe in when there's so much fake news telling me what to believe? It goes beyond that. And like, it's also like, well, actually, how do I make a difference in my own community? How do I make a difference in my culture at work? How do I make a difference in my family unit? How do I decide that things are going to be different? And how do I contribute positively to whatever area of life you might be thinking about? And this, I think, is my second, but probably my main point, is that it's really fucking overwhelming to look at the world and to look globally at what is happening and go, right, I need to sort this out. What can I do positively in the clusterfuck that I see before me? And it's just, it just makes you feel so disempowered. And that's also not, you know, there's no fucking one person crusade that is going to change the world. You know, no one's fucking Jesus Christ. I mean, no one is fucking Jesus Christ, not no one's fucking Jesus Christ. Maybe I should stop talking about fucking Jesus Christ. Anyway, you know, no one needs to be the savior of humanity or the savior of the race. What we need to be doing is we need to be saying, okay, so how can I take personal responsibility for myself, for my own shit, for my own actions, for my own little community? And if everybody took that responsibility and truly took it on and stopped trying to change the world, stopped trying to change other people, stopped telling other people that they were wrong, stopped telling other people that you're not doing it the way that I'm doing it, therefore you're doing it incorrectly. If people stopped doing that, if people started really being fucking cool with who they were, processing their emotion, understanding their part in the massive, massive, massive picture here. We are so fucking irrelevant as human beings in terms of like the scope of the universe. Our lives are so short, they're microscopic, they're completely irrelevant. And yet, of course, because we are by birth egotistical creatures in our in the sense of our humanity, we believe that, you know, the whole world is revolving around us. And in order for us to feel safe, we need to make sure that we're in control. In order to be in control, you need to do what I want you to do. And that's how we've got ourselves into this pickle, right? It's fear. Everything that you see, politics, famine, disease, immigration, the fucking horrendousness that is going on around borders at the moment, and civil war and death and destruction, it's coming from a place of fear. That's not coming from love. That's coming from fear. And that is like an amplified example. It's the amplified frequency that is happening in the individual souls on this planet. And I'm not talking about everybody. There are some people out there. There are some Mother Teresas out there who are doing fucking amazing things and who are, you know, contributing to the world positively by doing huge amounts in terms of like fucking charity work and sending out food parcels, and it's awesome, it's amazing. But what can if every single person on this planet just took full responsibility for their own emotional state, took full responsibility for how they feel on the inside, stopped being scared of their emotion, allowed themselves to truly process anger and fear and disgust and rage and jealousy, if people, instead of trying to pretend that those emotions didn't exist in themselves and therefore never really giving them chance to transcend and transmute into anything else, and also at the same time blocking all the other emotions like love and generosity and compassion and contribution. Because while you are in fear of your emotion, you're also blocking, you're creating strategies to avoid that emotion. Rejection is the easiest thing to explain this with. So let's say you are in fear of rejection. So you spend your life, right, because you want connection. Ultimately, the fear of rejection, the opposite of that, the polarity of that, the other side of the coin of that is connection, right? Rejection, connection. So you want connection, but you're so scared of rejection that what you start doing is building up this like protective wall around yourself about, okay, well, how can I like push rejection away? Okay, well, I'm just going to isolate myself a little bit, or I'm going to dump him before he dumps me, or I'm just going to be defensive. I'm going to see the worst in people. And so in your want and need and desire of connection, but your fear of rejection outweighs it. So you are now building up these strategies. You're building up this neurology. You're building up these behaviors that prevent the rejection. But in doing so, here's the fucking kicker. You're preventing yourself from being connected. And the reality is the effort, the time, the fucking energy that goes into building that wall, creating those strategies, having those thoughts, being that defensive. Fuck, man, that's where the pain lies. The pain doesn't lie in rejection. Rejection sucks for about 3.5 minutes and you fucking get over it and you realize, oh, look at me, still alive, heart still beating, still on the planet. There we go. Funnily enough, an emotion didn't kill me. But we don't. We just spend so much time, so much energy in building up that wall, maintaining that wall, and then we wonder why we don't ever feel connected. And that is what is happening on a global scale. And that's not because the global scale is making that happen. It's because every single individual is. And if you want to see cultural change, if you want to see global shifts, if you want to see a rise in a vibrational frequency from fear to something approaching love, you've got to do the work yourself. First and foremost, you've got to do the work yourself. There's no point going on a crusade. There's no point fighting. There's no point joining the war. There's no point picking up your fucking sword. There's no point. You're just adding. When you add fear to fear, you just get more fear. So it starts at fucking home. It starts at fucking home. If you want to know how to positively contribute to a world where there is so much disharmony, find the disharmony in yourself and fucking deal with it. Do the work. Get a coach. Go on that retreat. Learn yoga. Start meditating. Like, reduce the need to be so fucking bombarded by materialistic gratification. Start learning about yourself. Start embracing your emotions. Stop demonizing parts of you because your parents told you you shouldn't be selfish, or the television told you that you shouldn't be jealous. Or these are fucking human emotions. Learn how to process them. Learn how to be with them. Learn how to fucking love yourself. And I swear to motherfucking God, if everybody in this world did that, there would be no world, there would be no global disharmony. There may be pockets here and there, but it would be sorted out relatively quickly. And then what you can start doing is, once you've really fucking done the work on yourself, once you're really in a place where you love and know and trust yourself, when you understand that part of the evolutionary growth of being a human being is sometimes uncomfortable and you're okay with that and you're prepared for that and you can be vulnerable in that and you've got a good team of people and you've got tribe and you've got this thing, which I hate using the word purpose, because purpose isn't about, oh, what job should I do? Or someone tell me, would I enjoy being a primary school teacher? Should I go back to college? And it's fuck that noise. Purpose is about, like, am I cool with who I am? Your purpose on this planet is to be cool with who you are, is to unpick the bullshit that your social conditioning, that your environmental circumstances have placed upon you, and the behavior that you therefore display and the results that you therefore manifest. It's about coming back to self. It's about learning who you want to be and then executing on that. And then once you're in that place, well, then you can just, naturally you will start contributing. Naturally you will find yourself wanting to reach out to strangers, wanting to do a little bit of charity work, wanting to contribute, smiling at people. Fuck, man, if every single person, 7.7 billion people on this planet, if every single person woke up tomorrow and smiled at a stranger, how much nicer would the world be? Immediately. Immediately, how much nicer would the world be? If people were really accepting of themselves, if people weren't in scarcity, if people didn't worry, then if people didn't feel like the world was ganging up on them, if people weren't scared of rejection, if people weren't scared of the unknown, if people weren't scared of different, how much different would the world be? How much more accepting would we be? How much less racism would we see? Less sexism would we see? Less polarization of societies? Less bullying? You know, people who bully, people who persecute, people who build fucking walls to, like, kick the fucking Mexicans out, that's not coming from love, that's coming from fear. And when I see those people in action, when I see them, of course, my initial response, my first thought is, you fucking dickhead, you need to be shot in the face. First thought. My second thought is, wow, you must be in so much pain. You must be in so much fear in your soul, so much fear, that you believe that other people are a threat to you. That just tells me you don't trust yourself. And for that, you have my love and compassion. And so cultivating love and compassion for your fellow man is about first and foremost cultivating it for yourself, and then having really fucking solid boundaries. So this stuff came out of some of Brené Brown's work. I think I heard this on a podcast that she did with Russell Brand, Under the Skin. I will link it, but I think you have to pay to download Lumacy. Oh man, I don't know if that's the right word. Anyway, I'll link it in the show notes, the episode. And they're talking about the people who have the most love and compassion. There's one variable that links them all, and it is that they have boundaries of steel. Because I cannot have love and compassion for you if I feel resentment to you because I said yes when I meant no. And I think when it comes to boundaries, people don't really understand boundaries. I think there's such a sort of myth around boundaries. People think boundaries means saying no and denying someone and being a bit of a bitch and being a bit selfish. Fuck, man. It's the complete opposite of all of that. Hang on just a second. Leave it. Theodore. Oh, I shouldn't say his name when I'm telling him off. Leave it. Good boy. Play with this instead. Good boy. Who knew that having a puppy would be so much fun? So boundaries. Boundaries is about saying this is what is acceptable. Boundaries isn't about saying no. Boundaries is about saying yes first. So that looks something like this. Hey, it's totally and utterly acceptable and reasonable and understandable that you feel really, really upset about what happened back there. What's not acceptable and reasonable is the way that you yelled at me about it. Now that's a boundary. An unhealthy boundary is, you can't talk to me like that, right? That's just, what does that mean? If somebody is coming at you because with fear and anger, right? So any of the fear-based emotions, so like anger or jealousy or resentment, anything that moves you away from love is a fear-based emotion. That's because there is a need that is not being met. And you need to acknowledge that need. The need is, oh my God, you know, I feel unheard, I feel disempowered, I feel at risk. Okay, awesome, that's completely acceptable, I totally understand that. What's not acceptable is the behavior that you've displayed on the other side of it. So that's a healthy boundary, but that can only come from love and compassion, and love and compassion for other, love and compassion for self, and then you can have love and compassion for other people, because you will never be overstepping my boundaries. So I will never feel annoyed or angry or resentful. I have very strong boundaries with everybody in my life. I'm building strong boundaries with Theodore the dog, slowly but fucking surely, with a lot of patience. I have really clear boundaries with my partner and he does with me. I have really clear boundaries with my friends. I have exceptionally clear boundaries with my clients. It's okay that you reach out. It's not okay that you expect me to speak to you on a Sunday evening. No. But it's okay that you've got shit going on. I have really, it's okay that you're in fear. It's not okay that you're not doing the work. Does that make sense? So, you know, from that space, then you can have really beautiful love and compassion for the people around you, and you will naturally find yourself contributing to the world in a really, really positive way. So start small, start from within, really building self-worth, self-love, self-trust, really processing your emotions, understanding how your egoic wall is keeping you safe, and the emotion that you are in fear of, and how actually the energy, the pain is in the resistance to the emotion. The pain isn't in the emotion. The emotion might suck. The emotion might not be pleasant. The emotion might be a hard emotion, but the pain is in the resistance of that emotion. Once you learn the process, and it's a simple process. It's simple isn't always easy, but it is a simple process. I teach it to my clients. I teach it on retreats. I go really deep with my retreat attendees on this, like hardcore, like to the bottom, to the depth, to the fucking genesis of it. I go really deep on it, because the moment you uncover that, the moment you, if you can make peace with death and stop being scared of your emotion, you can create anything, including global change. If everybody did that, if everyone had peace with death, and if everyone really genuinely learned not to be scared of their emotion, there wouldn't be disharmony in the world. So start with you. Lead by demonstration. Never tell anyone else that they need to do this. Here I am here suggesting that you do it. But, you know, life is about, leadership is about leading by demonstration. So this is why wars don't work, right? You should do this. You should be peaceful. I'm going to shoot you in the face so that you will be peaceful. It's like, fucking hell. Are we in fucking kindergarten? Apparently we are. So, you know, like start from within, self-parent, self-lead. Understand who you are, really clear boundaries, love and compassion to the people around you. Smile at strangers. Do the small, tiny little things, the insignificant things. This is the same with like habits in terms of like creating results for yourself. It's the small, insignificant things that you do day in, day out that make massive fucking change. Smile at strangers. Like if you've got an extra half an hour, a couple of hours on your parking ticket, give it to somebody else. Offer to help an old woman across the road with her bags. Like go and call your mate who's having a bit of a shit time at the moment and be like, hey, let me take your kids so that you can go to the spa this afternoon. Like that is how we create global change, is that we start with our own little community, and that has to start from within. So I trust that that has helped. Drop it. Oh, good boy. Oh, Jesus Christ. I'm going to go and try and keep my puppy alive for a little bit longer. I love you so much. You, I love you so much. You're teaching me so much. All of the little life lessons. Good boy. All right. That's it from me and Theodore. I trust that has helped. I would love your feedback. I would love to know what you think. I would love your suggestions. Hop into my free Facebook group, That Crazy Thing Called Life. I do videos in there almost every day outside of the weekends. Excuse me, just burped. You are welcome. So hop over into That Crazy Thing Called Life. I'm about to launch some really awesome, amazing, they're not meditations, but they are meditations. I prefer to call them contemplations over in that group and on my YouTube channel. But I would love to know what you think and what your suggestions are. Maybe you've got some awesome suggestions too about, you know, how you can go about contributing positively to a world which does at times appear to be in complete disharmony. I will say one more thing, and that is, you know, what you focus on grows. So I'm so aware that there is disharmony in this world, and sure, absolutely, maybe I actually need to take a little bit more note about where that disharmony is happening and what is going on in the political landscape of the world at the moment. Oh, just dropped my microphone. Equally, I refuse to watch the news and sit in fear-mongering. I'm very careful about what I feed my brain. I'm so careful about, like, I won't watch adverts on the television. I don't listen to the radio because of adverts. It's like fear-mongering. I'm so careful about who I follow on social media. Like, my brain is so precious, and fear is rife in marketing, in the capitalist society that we live in, and in the news that we watch, and people are being manipulated left, right, and center. And I'm really, really, really precious about that. So absolutely know and take responsibility and know what is going on in the world. But, you know, don't obsess about it. Like, make sure you are conscious about what you are feeding your brain, what you are listening to, who you are listening to, and make sure that you balance it out with a heap of positivity. All right, lovely people, thank you very much for listening. Rate and review on iTunes. Listen to me on Spotify. Use the hashtag UnashamedlyHuman. Join the Facebook group, That Crazy Thing Called Life, and I'll see you soon.
If you're anything like me, your first thought in the morning is often one of, oh, holy fuck. We wake up instantly feeling like we're in lack. Not enough sleep, not enough time, not enough. We scroll through social media and feel not enough. We think about our day ahead and feel underprepared, uninspired, or overwhelmed. What if we're not enough? Before we're even out of bed, our mind is telling us all sorts of crazy stories. And these stories set the precedent for our day and have a huge effect on our results. Imagine if you could start your day with a different thought. Imagine waking up to a daily reminder of the greatness that lies within you. Imagine having your own personal and funny cheerleader inspiring you every single day. Imagine your first waking thought being one of abundance and purpose. Well, imagine no longer, my friend, because now you can wake up with M. Wake Up with M is a text message service for women who are ready to wake up to their power, purpose, and passion. A daily motivational message from me personally to get you smiling into your day and vibing high from the moment you wake up, and all for less than the price of a couple of lattes a month. And even better, you get the first month completely for free. Because, well, you know, you might actually find it really annoying to have a daily reminder that you're amazing and capable and awesome. head to emilychadbourne.com/wakeup or check out the link in the show notes below.